All right, we'd like to welcome each and every individual to Legacy Partners and our mastermind call on dimensional living. My name is Elise, and I will be your coach and facilitator for today's session along with Alan Stein. If you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you or call toll-free 888-230-2300 or the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. There will also be a special gift offering at the end of today's session, so you will definitely want to stick around for that. All right, so this week we are diving into Chapter 3 of Alan's book on how to be the best student in the world. So if you would like to go to www.ravingfan.net, I do have the Chapter 3 document pulled up. So Alan, why don't you just share a little bit about Chapter 3 and what you'd like to discuss today?
Well, you know, it's really not my writing. I want to be pretty clear about that. I kind of feel like I might be the pen, you know, jotting this stuff down on the page, but it's certainly to a very, very limited work. So, you know, there's everybody who's involved with this. There's Mark. There's the children. It's a pretty exciting group effort. So I'd love to hear from people on the call any input regarding, you know, on one level, you know, the kind of nuts and bolts of you know, what's been written. You know, at a different level, maybe the concept of where we're going, and maybe talk about some of the concepts. Or three, I'd love to hear some interpretation of what the children have done, what they've produced, the drawings, and that wonderful video that Zaire did. Because I think that, you know, from grown-up, as grown-ups, we look at things through our perspectives, and we can learn to look at other perspectives by understanding such things as personalities and natural laws. But children, they have a completely different perspective, and that's, it's really hard for us grown-ups to get there, and so we can use children, I think, to kind of help us get there, to look at things from a really different perspective. And so they're a very critical part of this project, and I want to make sure that we stay focused on what they're trying to tell us about these, about this. So anybody who has any input, please, anybody? Do we have any of the children on?
Yes, Zaire is on.
Oh, great, Zaire. Zaire, that was a wonderful video and some great drawings you did.
Thank
you. Want to tell us, Zaire, a little bit? You know, I had a question for you, Zaire. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
So I loved how you what you said about curiosity, when you said that, like, when stuff is kind of weird and you can't explain it, you know, like, that's curiosity. And I loved what you said about how, like, people's eyes, you know, like, they're so sleepy, they can't even see what curious means or say what curious means. So what do you mean by that, by people's eyes being so sleepy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just currently woke up, so his eyes literally are really sleepy right now.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember when you had said what curiosity meant?
Mm-hmm.
When people's eyes are sleepy, what does that mean to you?
That means grateful for curiosity.
That you're grateful for curiosity. Yeah. I think part of it, too, Alan, may have been in that chapter you had mentioned that people are asleep, you know, and throughout the book you've mentioned that people are asleep to what's going on and whatnot. So,
oh, okay.
That may be his perception of that as well.
So he's being very attentive, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Zaire, I love you talking about Curious George. This is Nancy. And I remember Curious George when I was growing up. What do you love about Curious George? Is there anything really special that you love about Curious George?
Yeah, when he goes on adventure.
Yeah. And what does that mean to you when he goes on an adventure? What does it mean to you when you go on an adventure?
It makes me feel about being with family. Family.
With family?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So, Zaire, can you tell us about the drawings that you did for about Curiosity?
Well, yes. This one is chapter 5.
Well, that's so that you're age 5. So, do you remember the question that you asked when you drew the castle? You said, I'm curious why.
Castles don't talk and walk like us.
Right? Why don't castles talk and walk like us? What did you say that this one was? The red thing on the left?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Our throat.
Our throat and our lungs. You were curious about our lungs and how they work?
Uh-huh.
What was this? The bottom left. God bless you.
Why balloons don't stay on the ground when, like we do.
Why don't balloons stay on the ground like we do? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things you're curious about. Zaire, what do you do when you're curious about something and you have a question like that?
I just draw.
Jill, can you interpret?
Yes, he says that he draws. So in the video, right, I asked what Curious George does when he's curious and he scratches his head to find out more. And then I had cut out, because the video was getting long, but I cut out, I had asked Zaire what he saw or what he does when he's curious, and he says, I just draw more to know more. And I said, what else do you do? He goes, I just draw more. Like, I just told you, Mom. But so that's
wow.
What he
so,
yeah.
So Zaire, how do you know more from drawing more?
Well, I just think about it, then draw it.
So drawing helps you think?
Well, thinking helps me draw.
Oh.
Thinking helps him draw.
Huh.
No.
Zaire, is there anything else you want to tell us about that drawing?
I don't think so.
Okay. Can we look at the other drawing?
Sure.
Hey, Elise, that's at the very bottom there.
There you go. Can you see it?
Yep.
Okay.
Remember that one?
Zaire, what do you call this drawing?
Curiosity.
Okay.
Curiosity. Mm-hmm. Can you tell them about it?
Was the first drawing the castle drawing?
Was the first drawing the castle drawing?
Was the first castle of the castle drawing?
Yeah, the one that we just looked at.
Now, I might be putting names on things that, you know. So let's not go there. Let's go back to this drawing.
Can you tell us about
this drawing? Tell us about this drawing.
I can't really remember.
You can't remember? What I remember, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Zaire, but the lady in the middle, you had told me, was a mom, and she's singing to her baby that she's holding on the upper right side there. And then the people on the left were out picking flowers, which was also discussed in Chapter 3, Curiosity.
No.
Oh, that's not right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were cutting.
You can say it, Bubby. They were cutting the trees?
Stump.
The tree stumped. So that's what he had explained to me.
Okay,
we'll
go up
$3 because
we don't
want to
hear. Okay.
So,
I didn't
want
to miss this.
We don't get you, but we have to pay. I'm sorry.
So, Zaire, so what were you thinking? You said, you know, thinking helps you draw. So, this one, what were you thinking?
I'm curiosity.
Okay. You know, us grown-ups, we have a hard time thinking sometimes. Have you noticed that, Zaire, that grown-ups have a hard time thinking?
No. I never have a hard time thinking.
Not you, but grown-ups.
Oh.
He's pondering that thought.
Okay.
He first thought you said that he had a hard time, and he said, no, I never have a hard time thinking.
I can see that. All right. Jill, is there anything else that you remember or any connections about the drawings that we should know about?
Not that I can think of. This picture that's on the screen now, he had drawn while I was reading the chapter, and then the second one was more of the discussion page while we were talking about it. So,
Yeah. So I remember like a week or two ago when we were on this call, and we were looking at some of Zaire's, I think they were Zaire's drawings, and somebody made a connection. You know, they looked at Zaire's drawings and they saw something which I didn't see. And so, you know, on the one hand, I want to hear what Zaire has to say about his drawings. On the other hand, I also want to hear if anybody looks at these drawings or looks at Zaire's video and sees something about how that connects back to what we're studying, which is curiosity. So, anybody have any thoughts on that?
Hey, Alan, it's Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
The one thing that strikes me is, as Zaire says, he thinking helps him draw, and I find that amazing that a 5-year-old recognizes that concept, because isn't that the same? Isn't that exactly what it helps us do when we write, and maybe it's when we draw, or maybe it's when artists paint, but we have to think about the topic before we can actually put it on paper, and that's what helps us learn it better. And, you know, he was pretty clear that it's not the drawing helped him think, because you have to think first So what goes on paper really, I don't think, is the important part. It's the thinking part that you have to do beforehand before you put down on paper what you're, what you've come up with.
I love that, Patrick. Hey, I wonder if that pertains to designing conservatories, drawing conservatories.
It could.
I love that, Patrick.
Well, that's true, because Mehmet always says he has to see the when Alan comes back or whoever goes out, he always has to think about it before he can actually start to draw anything.
Hey, Tim.
Good morning. How are you?
Glad you made it. How about you? What are your thoughts on this?
I certainly would concur that I have to, I should, I don't always, but I should think before I put anything on paper in one form or another. So it's pretty fun to hear a 5-year-old suggest that he needs to think about it first. I'm, you know, quite honestly needing to think more and more about what it is I'm doing before I actually plot it out. So, and particularly as I've expressed before, at 6 a.m. here in Washington State. So I generally get up and it takes my mind a while to get in gear and begin to think, let alone before I would dare write and put my name on it. But it's just fun to see the video, especially. I enjoyed about Curious George scratching his head.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of head scratching.
So when...
By the way, I have to confess, I've tried to get on the link for this chapter. The others I had no problem. And it looks like it's limited now, and I will just take a second with this to not hold the group up, but going on only through Facebook, which I'm not connected through Facebook, so it's kind of taking me in circles.
Tim, can you send I think you have to send a request link. I tried to give access to everybody, but I guess it didn't work so well. So if you send a request for a link, we can get that set up quickly.
Alrighty, thanks.
So, you know, I'm thinking about this concept. You know, I thought that Zaire was saying, you know, drawing helps me think. And that's kind of the way that I would have always taken this. I wonder what the difference between those two approaches is.
Do you think the personalities come into play?
Well, you know, I was wondering that too. Is it a personality thing, or is it a dimensional thing?
Alan?
Yeah.
This is Richard from Atlanta.
Hey, Richard.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Zaire, what I'm hearing is that Zaire was saying that when he draws, he gets thoughts, and when he has thoughts, he draws, and it's like the chicken or the egg, it's like an expression. What I'm hearing Zaire saying in reference to curiosity and his drawings is that he is, it's more like coming alive, it's more like creativity, it's more like his curiosity grows when he engages.
Yes. Yeah, that's very cool. So in Curious George, so Zaire says in his video, he says, when Curious George is curious about something, he just scratches his head or puts his finger underneath his chin, right? And then all of a sudden he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen for you, Zaire?
Sorry, one second. Can you ask that again, Mr. Allen?
So, Zaire, So, like you said that, like when Curious George is curious about something and he doesn't know it, then he scratches his head, like I think you said, like three times, or he puts his finger underneath his chin, and then he just knows.
Mm-hmm.
So does that happen to you like that, Zaire?
Not really.
No, when you're curious, you don't scratch your head or put your finger on your chin?
No.
What do you do?
I just think about it. I just look, put my hands on my chest and think. Then I draw.
And then you draw. Okay. So he said he puts his hand on his chest, and he was looking up while he's doing this, and then he just thinks, and then he draws.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a little like just taking action, knowing it's there, Zaire. Do you like to take action? Do you like to create?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you like to create? Why? Why do you do that?
Because I do it to make me do stuff like helping mom clean the house.
Like helping mom to clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
So you like to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he will. He'll draw. He loves to paint. He loves to create things out of Play-Doh and clay.
So, Jason, are you on today?
I am. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I can hear you guys.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
Any thoughts on curiosity or what we're talking about or what Zaire shared?
When you guys were talking about Curious George, it made me think back to even as a kid, growing up, like how I can see how the book kind of fits the parent and the children, because even in the stories, the man in the yellow hat always was trying to protect him from getting hurt, kind of like protecting him from his curiosity. I feel like a lot of parents probably do that with their kids, and that as we grow older, maybe we lose that sense of curiosity. Not sure if you have any thoughts on that.
Wow.
Yeah, which kind of goes back to what Patrick was saying, right, about, you know, how we tell our kids to stop or, no, don't do that, don't touch that, don't, you know. And I've said it before, too, with the five levels of questions before I realized that that was really a thing, before I had been awakened to that. And, you know, kids ask a lot of questions. And I've noticed even as Zaire gets older, as society, whether it's friends, whether it's people at the store, whether it's anyone, if he starts asking too many questions, you can definitely see that they're getting annoyed and they're getting they don't want to be bothered with that many questions. It's really interesting how all of that goes together, and then, you know, at what point do we stop being curious and how do we prevent that?
Wow.
I'm curious. Is it a one-way street, though? You have the person who's asking the questions, and then you have the person that's receiving the questions. Can it go on for as long as it goes on with a child Is it possible? If Zaire was an adult, or was, if he was receiving the questions, would he go on? You follow me?
Would he be as receptive to the questions?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, what stops the questions? The questions stop because there's an annoyance. Would, if Zaire was receiving the questions just like the adult is, would he become annoyed?
Hmm. That's...
Is that Nancy?
Yes.
Nancy, that's a great question. And that's like an environment. Your environment, who you speak to, they say you take five people and add up their income and divide by five, you'll get what you're getting. A lot of the information that goes in your head dictates who you're being in the world and what you're producing in the world. So if you've got a wall where, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, you kind of like become a lot of like your environment. So if Zaire's, if we had a community where Zaire's were living and they came up and they fostered each other to be creative thinkers, you'd have you'd have a creative thinker's world maybe. I don't know the answer. I'm just addressing your question.
So I'm curious, does Zaire ever get annoyed with you, Jill, for asking him too many questions?
That's a good question.
Only when I'm asking him to do something for the 10th time, then he'll get annoyed. Annoyed with me is how he says it. He'll get annoyed.
So how come it's okay for him to ask you something 10 times, but it's not okay for you to ask him something 10 times?
No, it's when I have to ask him to do an action, like clean your room, right? And I have to ask him multiple times, then he'll get annoyed. I'm trying to think, and I will definitely, I'm going to put an experiment out there, and I'm going to ask my family to do the same and, you know, be curious about him or what he's doing and ask multiple questions to see how he responds to that. Because I'm very, very curious about what Nancy brought up.
Yeah.
This is a Zaire.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I am just totally, totally blown away with this conversation. Absolutely blown away. Because one of the biggest challenges that I have is to figure out why it is that kids lose their curiosity around things that are related to science. I mean, I don't know why. After a while, it just turns off. Now, I'm not professing that I want everybody to be a scientist, but I think I want everybody to be curious. So this is just amazing to me what I'm hearing. I mean, it really, really is freaking me out, and it's having me think a lot about the questions that I have about why kids aren't curious.
So have you come to any conclusions on that, Greg?
Oh, man. I think, I don't know who it was, but somebody said the environment plays a heavy part in that, and I think if you're in an environment where questioning is constant or being able to ask questions is permissible, then you're more likely to be the type of person that receives questions or asks questions and becomes curious. But if you're shut down very quickly because of your environment, once, twice, three times, you're not going to do it again. So... And I know for some of the kids that I teach in the sciences that, you know, they hear a negative rhetoric around sciences, and so they don't do chemistry, they don't do physics, they don't do biology, and they don't do well in math because they're told some way, somehow, in their environment that they can't do it.
Yeah.
And so the curiosity question then dissipates, it disappears.
So have you found ways to rekindle that natural curiosity in your students, Greg?
What I've done, and it seems to have worked. I need to do a bigger experiment, but it seems to have worked, is to link whatever it is that they're learning to exactly what they do and are most interested in.
Hmm.
I mean, I just consistently try to find out. The questions that I ask is, what do you love to do? Why do you love to do it? What do you think about it? How do you think you can do more with what you like to do? You know, so I try to find what it is that is the driver, the interest, what's most interesting to these kids, and then move it from there. And then I tailor a program around that interest and teach them math, physics, biology, chemistry, whatever they want to learn. You know, and that's how I do it.
Greg, that's... I've got a question. This is Richard.
Sure. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Greg. So you asked the question, what do you love to do?
Yeah.
And then you link that discipline into that question.
All right. Yeah.
And you're seeing some results. Now,
yeah.
The gap between where you are or where they
mm-hmm.
that where the student is
mm-hmm.
and the discipline tying in what they love to do
mm-hmm.
versus, do you think making it practical, meaning here's your destination, this is not really, that's not the word, what is it, it's more like here's mm-hmm. your, like the metaphysics of it, how do I relate this to my life, how does this generate or regenerate or contribute? How does this contribute to the standard of my living, the standard of my family, the community? Like really getting clear on the impact that their work has now. Because a lot of sciences is more like Edison doing 1,000 light bulbs until he found
right.
the right one.
Mm-hmm.
It, not everybody has that tenacity and persistence. What do you think it would take for a human being to create that endurance?
Hey, can I stop you right there? Because we're just
yeah.
about out of time. And
mm-hmm.
two things I want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
One is that I don't know if anybody else has seen the connection here, but what we're talking about right now and what Greg, what you've been talking about, how to, you know, how to try to link what students, what you want students to learn and get excited about with what they already love and what they already are passionate about, that links directly back to what we were talking about in the last segment about
yeah.
how we at Tanglewood are trying to connect that with the company vision and get people, get on our team excited and understanding and bought into that. So I want to explore that more, but we're almost out of time. And Richard, what you just said is actually the opening for the next chapter. So the next chapter, guess what? Persistence.
Persistence.
So we're out of time today, but I want to continue this conversation and in sort of the natural flow and move right into the whole subject of persistence. How does that apply to this? And I want to look at it from